Good morning, or good whatever time of day it is when you happen to be watching this. I'm Stephen Morris. I'm one of the members here at Jubilee Church, and I'm going to be speaking this morning on our series of Getting Close to God. Now, those of you who've been watching from the start of this series will know that this sheep, which everybody calls Sean, is very much a feature of things. Well, I'm not going to be talking about sheep today, so we'll get rid of that. And we will instead talk about this little cat. So more about him later. Now, it's very strange being here in a very empty Jubilee Centre. There are only two people here. There's Elliot behind the camera and Dave, who's been doing the intro. And I thought it'd be nice if we actually saw something of Elliot for once. Let's just turn that on. So here is Elliot behind the camera. Give us a wave, Elliot. Thank you very much. And as you'll see, we've got, apart from Dave sitting in the corner, hello, Dave, we've got one very empty-looking Jubilee Centre. And I assure you that those of us who are here are keeping the requisite 2 metres or more between us. Now, this empty hall here is really a very clear demonstration of a truth that I hope many of us realise and understand, that the church isn't about buildings, the church isn't a building, but it is all about the people. And this is a clear demonstration today of that. I love to stand at the front of the church and see your lovely smiling faces. And when I'm preaching, it's lovely to get that feedback. And it's even lovelier if some of you are still awake when I get to the end. And when Jesus rose from the dead, the ladies went to the tomb. And in Matthew 28, verse 6, we read, Jesus is not here, he is risen. We're not here, but the church still lives. We need to value our church, and it's great the way that God causes the church to thrive through all sorts of difficulties. And our prayer is that through this time when we're not able to meet together physically, we will grow closer to him and actually grow stronger as a church. So when the time comes to get back together, I hope and pray that we'll all be ready to go on with the purposes that God has for us and just get on with the very important job that we have of being the body of Christ. Now, a series on staying in touch with God, it's a reminder really that as we have a bit of time on our hands, it's a good time now to try and spend more time being close to God. And I'm really glad that Dave's decided on using the Psalms as his book for this series. Many of us have a particular affection for the Psalms. I love the Psalms, and I'm sure many of you do too. And the great thing about the Psalms is they're so full of honesty. It really shows us how to talk to God. There are times when the writers, usually David, but not always, has something really exciting on his heart. He's full of praise for God. There are other times when it's just absolutely terrifying and the man's really, really struggling and very often in distress, very often going through hard times. And yet, he always manages to turn it round to the praise and glory of God. Psalms are significant in my own testimony. I couldn't wait till I got to 8 years old and could join the local church choir. And one of my favourite possessions is the Oxford Psalter, which was given to me by the rector of Didsbury Parish Church, the Reverend Ronald Cherry Weaver. And he gave me that in 1964. And that's what we used to use in the choir to sing the Psalms. It's a very complicated process, really, because in the Anglican Church, you have these chants that you sing, and the book's got all sorts of little lines and marks in it that tell you where the bar lines are and when to change note. And as a result, it wasn't always easy to concentrate on the words. And then one day, it suddenly struck me that there was passion in these words, and that the person that wrote them obviously believed what he was saying and had something really important to say. And it was that realization that set me off on a journey which culminated in me finding Jesus myself. And for the last nearly 50 years now, Jesus has been the bedrock of my life because of what I read in Psalms, what I suddenly realized to be true, and was desperate to find out what that truth was all about for myself. Now, Dave asked me to have a look at one of the Psalms in the first 50 Psalms of the book. And the one that just leapt out of the page at me when I was just sort of casually flicking through was Psalm 16. So I'm going to read Psalm 16 now to you, and hopefully with Elliot's amazing skill, the words will also come up on the screen. So it says, "Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take my refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." Now, it's that first verse in particular that seems so very apt for our times. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I have refuge. It's a really simple call from David. We know David was in some distress. The psalm is titled a Miktam of David. And there's only six psalms that are called Miktams, and they're all psalms when David was in dire need, when he was in serious trouble. So we know that he was desperate at that time. And he just calls out to God, keep me safe. Oh, don't we just reflect that prayer at the moment? We so want to be kept safe at this time. So he's in a threatening situation. His immediate response is simply to call out to God. There's no preamble there, no skirting about it. He's straight in, a direct call to keep him safe. Now, when we look at the Lord's Prayer, and if you've never done it, it's worth using the Lord's Prayer as a framework for your prayers. If you've never done that, here's a challenge for you. Give it a try sometime. But we could say that in this case, David's breaking all the rules and he just goes straight in there with his request. Now, sometimes when we follow the Lord's Prayer, we feel duty-bound to bring our praise and worship to God and to tell him how wonderful he is. And that's right to do. But sometimes there are burning things on our heart that we just want to blurt out to God. And actually, when we come before him and we say how wonderful you are and all the rest of it, it's a wee bit like going to your dad and saying, "Oh, Dad, you are the most wonderful dad. You're fantastic. I love you," and so on and so forth. And Dad immediately knows that something is coming. He's immediately suspicious of you. So David doesn't go through any of that preamble. What is on his heart is blurted out straight to God. Now, is that not just a recognition of who David's father really is? That's what we do with our parents when we're little, isn't it? And we're desperate. We don't go through all these preambles. We just throw ourselves on their mercy or ask for their protection. So in that very act of crying out to God. David is actually recognizing him as Father. It's a cry from the heart, and it just shows that he trusts God. And he goes on to say, "For in you I take refuge." He has that faith. He knows that God is the one he can turn to in difficult situations, and God is the one that will come through for him. And God will come through for us too. If we're feeling desperate at the moment, if we're feeling worried, if we're feeling frightened, just cast that on the Lord. Just say to God, "Help, keep me safe, Lord. We want to be kept safe at this time and know that we can find refuge in the shadow of his wings." Obviously, it's the right time for us to listen to government advice and take every precaution. I'm not saying throw caution to the wind and just trust in God to save us. Of course, we've got to be sensible. But if we're really worried, then take those worries straight to God and ask him to keep you safe. Now, the next verse I want to pick out is verse 4. And it says, "The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods." Now, hopefully, we know that it's wrong for us to run after other gods. We know that it's wrong for us to have idols. And I'm reminded particularly of that bit in Exodus where Moses has gone up Mount Sinai. He's gone up to get the Ten Commandments, and he's left all the people at the bottom of the hill. Poor old Moses, he ends up running up and down Mount Sinai. I don't know how many times, I lost count of it when I looked at it. And Mount Sinai is about 7,500 feet high. So every time he runs up and down there, it's like climbing Snowdon and back twice. But he's gone for a very long time. The story starts in chapter 20, and Moses is there taking all the instruction from God and doesn't come down again till chapter 32. It's a jolly long time, and there's thunderstorms going on and earthquakes and smoke. And perhaps it's understandable that the people think, well, Moses is our leader. He must be dead by now. We need to turn somewhere else. So they made this golden calf, and God was very displeased at them. Now, you may think, why on earth would they think that a golden calf could be a god? Well, this is where the cat comes in. This is my little cat. Now, you can see he's made of wood. He's a wooden cat. And I could say to you that he's just a lump of wood. And I know some of you there, and I could probably name you, are just saying right now, "Yeah, that's a lump of wood." And others of you will say, "Oh, but he's got such a pretty little face. You can see he's a lovely little cat, really." And somehow he becomes a lot more than just a block of wood, doesn't he? He's got a little bit of personality. He's got that lovely, cheerful face. And let's face it, he looks like a cat, doesn't he? Well, I've never seen a cat that looks quite like that. But in general terms, you know that that looks a bit like a cat. And I can call this cat Clarence. Now, how do I know this cat's called Clarence? Is it because of his personality? Does he look like a Clarence? Or is it simply the fact he's got a little label on his bottom that says Clarence? Well, as soon as I name him and he's got a pretty little face, he's got a character, hasn't he? He becomes for us almost a real cat. And it's not far from that to start thinking that cat's a real cat. He's got life about him. He's got a personality. And it's not far from that to start thinking of it as a god. Now, if you really do think Clarence is a god and you're thinking of worshipping him, may I suggest that you stop the video right now and ring one of the elders and discuss it with them. But you can see how inadvertently we can turn something into a god. Now, one of the things comes out in that particular passage, those 12 chapters in Exodus, is Exodus 32, verse 35, which says, "The Lord struck the people with a plague." Now, that sounds familiar at the moment, doesn't it? "But he struck the people with a plague because of what they did with the calf that Aaron had made." So what that's saying is the object itself isn't an idol. Clarence the cat is not an idol, unless we choose to make him into an idol. It's the way we regard these things. So something that's a perfectly inanimate or perfectly harmless object, if we choose to make it into an idol, it becomes another god, if you like. And that is going to prevent us from having as close a relationship with the true God as we would like and as he would like us to have. So perhaps we need to ask ourselves at this time some searching questions. One of the great temptations in our age is to spend hours and hours gazing at screens. Now, some of us have to do that as part of our work. There's nothing wrong with that. But we can get so embroiled in social media and the other delights of the internet that we can actually lose track of God. We can lose track of the things that are important to us. Perhaps we just need to ask ourselves, how much time do I spend watching telly or in social media every day? And how much time do I spend in devotion to God? How much time do I spend in prayer? When you're having your prayer time, do you have your phone alongside you? And if a message comes in, are you able to ignore it and carry on praying? Or if the phone rings, that's even more of a temptation to answer it, isn't it? And we just say, hang on a minute, God, I've just got to take this. And we forget that this God that we're coming to is the creator of this universe. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And it's such an almighty privilege to us to be allowed into his presence. And yet we can count so many things in our lives as more important than God. So I'm not saying social media is a bad thing and you need to get away from it. It's the way that we handle it. It's what we do with it that makes it into an idol. Social media and other internet communications has been absolutely vital for us in these last few weeks. It's enabled our church to come together. It's great that we can communicate through social media, but we do need to just be careful that we don't let it become a god. We don't let it force out our times with God. We don't let it become more important. I do believe that at this time, God is saying to us, humble yourselves before me. And I had one of those experiences where I was trying to work out what God meant by humble himself. Was he speaking to the world in general? Well, yes, but there seemed to be something specific about him speaking to the church about humbling ourselves. And I had one of those experiences of being woken up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and God just made it clear to me that as we have things on our agenda that are more important than he, then those things are pride in us. We're proud of what's on our agenda. It's more important to us than what's on God's agenda. And we actually have to humble ourselves by realizing the things that are important to us aren't necessarily quite as important as we think they are. And they're certainly secondary to getting to know God better. And those things will become a hindrance to us getting close to God. So let's just try and take this time to get our priorities right and to spend that time with God, really giving our full attention to him and not being distracted by the things of this world. Whatever those things may be, it may be that social media is a thing, it may be other things in your life. And this verse in the psalm, it tells us that as we chase after these things, we'll find more and more misery. And that can be so true as we get into internet things. We can see a Facebook post that's horrible and upsets us for the entire day. We can go online and start buying stuff because we're bored and it's there and it's a good bargain and spend money we haven't got. Or we can drift into things that really aren't going to do us a lot of good on the internet. And how often do we see parents out with their children just gazing at their phones and ignoring their children? Do we then come to a realization later that we've wasted that time we could have been enjoying with our children. So it's exactly as the psalmist says, as we take on false gods, then we come into more and more misery. So let's just be careful and make sure that the true God is indeed our true God.